It is, again, just unique to have days like this where we have wintry weather and not everyone is able to attend. But thankful we have the technology. Thank you, brother. We have the technology of internet, live stream. So I hope it works well for you. We pray that it will. And again, we thank God for all things. Even on days when we have weather like this, we thank Him. And everything give thanks, right? No matter what the circumstance is around you, we always have reason to give thanks to God. And so for that, we absolutely do. Well, you found your place there in Psalm 37. I want to thank you, too, your parents at home, that you're able to get some of the younger ones, it's hard to get together for the service. But even if you have it playing and listening to it in the background, you might get something out of it. But thank you for gathering your young people up for this service. I hope it'll be an encouragement to them as well. And we're going to be in Psalm 37 talking about a man in the Bible that many are familiar with by the name of Joseph. And those of you that are reading the Bible through this year, you've been reading about Joseph over the past couple days. And so I'm going to have a message this morning that will give attention to Joseph, but also that will give us some things to reflect upon in the life of Joseph that will help us in this coming year. Notice with me, I'm going to just read the first half of the chapter. But the Bible says in Psalm 37, "And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him, and could not speak peaceably unto him. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, Hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose, and also stood upright, and behold, your sheaves stood around about, and made obeisance to my sheaf. And his brethren said to him, Shalt thou indeed reign over us? Or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. And he dreamed yet another dream, and told it his brethren, and said, Behold, I have dreamed a dream more. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. And he said it to his father and to his brethren. And his father rebuked him and said unto him, What is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee, to the earth? And his brethren envied him. But his father observed the saying, and his brethren went to feed their father's flock in Shechem." This morning, church, I want to preach a message to you looking at the life of Joseph, but learning about goals that honor God. Goals that honor God. Or we could also say this, habits or disciplines that honor God. That we can put into our lives that God will give us and God will lead us and God will strengthen us like He did in the life of Joseph. It is no doubt that Joseph formed some godly disciplines in his life that would determine his course. And I want to say that this morning as we gather together and think about what God is doing in our lives in the year of 2022, I want you to know that as we go forward by faith, God's got some wonderful things planned out for us. But it will require for us to form godly habits. You see here, I know that many of us have perhaps formed some new habits for the year. Maybe you have at least thought about some. I hope you have for the year 2022. And I hope that you have, as we look at Joseph, I hope you will realize that God wants you to set some new or renewed formations in your life. You see, Joseph was a man that followed God-given goals. He followed by faith and did not stop until he reached the destination. And as we follow the life of Joseph, not this morning, but even as you read your Bible through Genesis 50, you see that he did reach his destination successfully. But we see that this man faced a lot of opposition. Hoo-wee. You talk about some challenges in the life of Joseph and the obstacles that he faced. It just really motivates us to think upon the fact that God uses opposition and obstacles to grow us in our faith. And it was his goal to follow God, and there was nothing that he was going to allow to stop him. You know, Dr. Bob Jones Sr. said this, "The door to the room of success always swings on the hinges of opposition." We cannot get away from the fact that when we go forward and we find success, that door to success swings on the hinges of opposition. It's a part of it. And this morning, with God's help, I want to give you 4 points to ponder that will rightly guide you in setting goals and forming habits. And perhaps I'm even talking to some that would say, yes, I did. I formed some and written some, and I've already failed in them, or I've already missed them. Listen, let me comfort your heart. There's hope, because we all fall short. Okay? We all are imperfect. But there are some guiding points here that I believe will steer your heart in the coming days as you get serious about following God by faith and having goals that honor Him. Let me give you these quickly. Would you write these down if you're home? You can take notes, maybe to stay a little bit more attentive. But number one, would you write down this? It is necessary that we be introspective. That we be introspective. What does that mean? It means that we need to take inventory of our current habits. Our current habits. In other words, where are you in your walk with God? Where are you in life? What are your bad habits? You know them. I know mine. What are the weaknesses in your life that you know you need to work on? And by the way, what are your strong points? Because those areas that we're doing well in, guess what? Those areas need to be improved upon as well. We just don't stop at something. We want to get better at it with the Lord's help. And I'm thinking about the life of Joseph when I think upon how he started off. As a young 17-year-old, God gave him a dream, and that was a sincere revelation from God. That was right. But as I look at the passage, I believe it's a strong possibility that Joseph did not communicate that dream in a manner that would be honorable. And a manner that would perhaps be as respectful. Now, we do know that Joseph is a type of Christ in the Old Testament, but he was not a perfect type. There was some areas that we could say, because he was human, and all humans fall short. All humans have imperfections. Christ Jesus did not have one imperfection. But the fact of the matter is, I believe if we could point to one, this is one that I would tend to see, that he lacked the tact to communicate in a humble way the revelations that he had received, even to the point where the brothers said not only were they bitter at the dreams that he shared, but they were bitter at the words he shared. In fact, it went so far as his own daddy rebuking him. And to the point where his dad would realize, again, that what he was saying is true, but I wonder if Joseph was conveying it in the right direction. My point is here in the know, when I was a stocker at Winn-Dixie, my senior year of high school there in Greenwood, I realized quickly how important it was to take inventory. And when you didn't do proper inventory, man, we got in trouble because it made a mess. Because we only had so much space in our stock room, back in the back room. And man, we had these big carts and they were all labeled, all these big, when the trucks would come in, we would unload them. And, you know, you had your different responsibilities. And when you went through at night and you would not scan perhaps the item that was missing, or you did not get a proper count of how many were missing, it would just jumble things up. And then there would be times, and that's when you get really angry customers. They come in and, "You are out of this," you know. Well, sometimes it is a problem. Somebody did not do proper inventory. And they perhaps made a careless mistake, but nevertheless, one of the things we must do in setting goals that honor God and walking with Him is that we need to be introspective and do inventory of our own hearts and see where we're at. Let me tell you this. You ought to make it a point. You ought to make it a point. You say, "Well, I'm not really sure where I'm at. I'm not sure where I really need to grow." Well, regardless of that, can I tell you something that will help you? Ask someone who knows you the best. Okay? Someone who's closest to you, ask them to give you some points that you could possibly work on. You know, just say, "Listen, I'm trying to be introspective. I want to see where I'm at because I do want to grow." And you ask that person on and say, "What are, you know what?" Best way to avoid deceiving yourself. When you open yourself up to be vulnerable to someone that you love and that knows you real well, it will help prevent that. Because we can. I can deceive myself very quickly. And there are blind spots. And we need to have those. You know, if you call me, "Pastor, hey, I'm coming over to your house today and want to help you and the kids build a snowman with that 1 inch of snow, maybe more." But you say, "Pastor, I don't know exactly where you live. How do I get there?" And what is the first question do you think I am going to ask you? Where are you? Because that's just the basics of setting goals. You can't go where you need to be until you first realize where you are. And so that's where you go. Now, before I move to my next point, let me give just a quick warning here. You can't stop here. But then they get discouraged and get overwhelmed and say, "Well, I'm being honest, but I don't know how I'm going to do this." But no, you got to move on to the next step when setting goals that honor God. And that's number two, if you would write this down, be intentional. Not only be introspective, but take it to the next step in being intentional. That means set some new habits. You could call them formations. I was challenged a year and a half ago or two that instead of calling them goals, call them formations or habits, because goals tend to have that idea that you reach and then, okay, you kind of let off or, you know, don't keep it. But formations are something you want to be a part of who you are as a person. And so you need to set some new habits. In other words, the first one is where are you, but this one is where are you going? Do you have a plan? A failure to plan is planning to fail, someone once said. And a goal or a new habit without a plan is only a dream. So we want to put feet to our habits, and we want to be intentional. We want to write them out. By the way, let me share a few thoughts that I heard Brother Adrian Rogers share, and I thought were very practical on this idea of being intentional and writing out goals. Can I say, number one, we need to beware of unfocused goals. Beware of vague goals. We need to be specific when we write them out. By the way, have you written out some goals that you have for your life right now? Have you written them out? If I were to say, hey, what do you want to do this year? What do you want to accomplish? What do you want to grow in? You know, have you written them out? I encourage you to do that. Write them out. And as I mentioned earlier, even share them with someone that you trust and that will support you with those new habits or those renewed habits. It might be some you already have, but you want to strengthen or you want to change. And share that with that person to pray for you. You know, I hope you have. If you haven't, I hope after today you will write out some of those things. Have a plan. There's nothing wrong with planning. It's like Brother Rogers said, planning is biblical. We see it all throughout the Word of God. In fact, we even see how God planned our salvation before the foundation of the world. He had planned that Jesus Christ would come to Calvary and die for the whole world. He planned that. You see, we can set plans, and we should. But then, not only do we need to beware of unfocused goals, but secondly, we need to beware of unworthy goals. Unworthy goals. Would you set those 2 points down? Beware of unfocused goals, and secondly, beware of unworthy goals. You could call those vain goals. You see, every goal or objective that we have as believers ought to be God-inspired, God-given, and God-approved. What are some questions to ask when determining whether the goal that I'm setting for my life or the habit that I am implementing into my life is really worthy of God? Well, here are some questions you can ask. Number one, can you pray and ask God to help you fulfill your goals? Can you pray, "Dear Jesus, I ask you to bless this endeavor of mine, this action, this habit that I am desiring to do and use it for your glory. I do it in your name, Lord Jesus." And whatever that might be, can you pray with confidence and a clear conscience? Can you pray over that goal? Number two, ask this question. Is it benefiting only you? There's nothing wrong with doing things for ourselves. Nobody's criticizing that. But when we talk about implementing goals, who is it benefiting? Is it benefiting only you, or is it truly contributing and benefiting to others and the glory of God? Brother Rogers said this, many people are tuned in to WIFM. What's in it for me? And a lot of people live life that way. What's in it for me? But may God give us some goals that are going to impact others and make a difference for Christ. And then thirdly, ask this question. Would you write this down? Where are they taking you? Where are the goals and the habits in your life? Where are they taking you? And I'm not talking about heaven or hell here. I'm talking about right here on earth where we sit and live out today in your job, in your family, in your church participation. What are your goals and where are they taking you? It was said that when you die, you will leave behind everything you have and you will take with you everything you are. That is so true. Everything I have will be behind, but everything I am, I'm taking with me. Who I am in Christ, what I did in and through Him, that's what's mattering for eternity. A wise man once said, whatever a man does without God, he will either fail miserably or he will succeed more miserably. You think about that. Let your goals be God-ordained. Let them honor the Lord, and He will bless you. Joseph had a goal to honor Him, and though he wasn't perfect, he has got his feet in the right direction. He's going to be faced with much opposition, but God has called him for a purpose, and God's called you for a purpose. And He's wanting to do a great work in and through you. as His child. And if you're not His child, the first goal of yours should be today is to get born again. Receive Christ as your Savior. Put your personal faith in Him that He died and rose again for your sins. And then that's the first and most important step of life. And that step takes, God's going to take you many more steps in your growth in the Lord. Not only do we see beware of unfocused goals and beware of unworthy goals, but thirdly, beware of unwise goals. You know, hey, sometimes we can set some goals that, quite frankly, are just a little, let's just say, unreasonable or unwise. There is being overzealous or unbalanced. And, you know, when we become unbalanced, the Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. You know, church, if my goal is to be a good pastor, but yet I become and neglect my role as a husband, I neglect my role as a father, that means I'm unbalanced. You see, God wants me, when I set goals, not to be overly focused in one area. It's like God gave us two legs to stand upon, to be balanced in our walk. And it would be crazy for us to see some guy hopping around on one leg, would it not? And find out that the other leg that he has is perfectly strong and healthy and he could be using it. And if you asked him, why are you hopping around? It's because I want to strengthen this one leg. I mean, just be crazy. And sometimes what can happen in not using wisdom in our walk with God, sometimes we get so focused on one thing that other things suffer. So we want to be balanced. We want to be wise. You know, when tires become unbalanced on a vehicle, they wear down much quicker. And I want to tell you, if you are unbalanced, you will wear down your Christian life, your strength and use for Him much quicker. Make sure your new habits are balanced, and the Holy Spirit will help you with this. So we see, number one, be introspective. Number two, be intentional. But number three, would you write this down? Be industrious. Be industrious. I want to tell you, Joseph, no doubt, had a testimony of being a hard worker. He had a testimony of being diligent. Of course, he's first introduced as keeping the sheep. Helping keep the sheep. He was a worker. Now we know that there's more behind that that I could go into. He was also favored above the others, and that was a mistake on Jacob's part. But I'm not getting into that. But nevertheless, as you follow the life of Joseph, there's no doubt that he was a diligent man. And I want to talk about that just for a minute. What does it mean to be industrious? It means to go after it. It means time to get to work. You and I have some goals, some habits, excuse me. We have some new habits that we want to implement. But you know, church, it's going to take some hard work. It's going to take some discipline on our part. You know, Proverbs 22:29 says this: "Seest thou a man diligent in his business? He shall stand before kings. He shall not stand before mean men." Did you have that verse? That is such a powerful verse. And you know what? Joseph is a proof of the truth of this verse. He's going to stand before Pharaoh. He's going to stand before the leader of the guard. We see that Joseph was a diligent man. What about me? What about you? Are we being diligent, industrious with the goals that He's put forth? Do you have a plan set forth and how you're going to accomplish not just a shot in the wind, but laying out a strategy of things that you can implement in your life? I like what Charles Bridges said about this. It's always been a challenge to me. It's this: remember, faith without diligence is slumbering delusion. Think about that. Faith without diligence is slumbering delusion. In other words, we're not going anywhere. I don't know how many of you got a chance to watch the ceremony yesterday. Some of you maybe were able to attend. I heard it was a pretty cold event out there, depending on where you were sitting in the stadium. But, you know, our Georgia Bulldogs were honored for the national championship, and it was a great ceremony honoring them and the coach and others. But one of the things I listened to a little bit on the radio, and one of the things that I noticed was quite common between each of, especially the players, but even Coach Kirby Smart, some things that he said, was this thing here. This team here that stood out from others was this team bought in. They were connected and they bought in to give all. Absolute everything they had. It was all or nothing. And I believe that you noticed that one of the first things that Coach Smart said when he got up, he said, "Folks, I remember this time last year when these stands were empty and we were out here at 6 and 7 o'clock in the morning and these same young men who are sitting before you were out here working their tails off." And I've heard it said by other coaches that championships are won when the stadium is empty. And what I'm saying to you this morning, that if we're going to accomplish the goals God has before us, it's going to take some grit. It's going to take some determination. It's going to take commitment. It's going to take hard work. I'm telling you, when they were pushing through the practice of last year, through that last rep, through that last sprint, when they felt like they couldn't go any further, that's where the gain is taking place. And you may be thinking right now where you're at and trying to accomplish your new habits and trying to follow through, you're maybe thinking to yourself, "Oh, this is so painful." I want to tell you, you're right where you need to be. You're making some headway because you're facing that challenge and you're letting the Lord guide you in that. You see, I think about those young 20-something-year-olds that are giving it all they have. And I want to tell you, I know it's important. It's fine, especially for entertainment, those of us that watch it. But I want to tell you, you know what? Don't forget, Christian, players like that and other players, whatever sport you want to name, they are striving for a corruptible crown. But for the believer, we strive, we battle for an incorruptible crown that does not perish. It doesn't fade away. So therefore, how much more should we be going after it and being industrious? There is simply no substitute for hard work. You know, we're giving it all our might because God tells us to. God will not only give us the natural ability, the natural might, but He will also give us the supernatural might through His Spirit. Think about the natural aspect of the might that we have, the strength that we have. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 10. Perhaps you see it there on the screen, but I'll read it. It says, "Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave, whither thou goest." He's basically saying, while you have day, work hard. Give it all you got. Because there's a coming a day when no man will work. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16 says that He would grant you, that's that God would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. You see, you are strengthened with might. You see, it's like this, brethren. You have a natural ability, right, that you were born with. Your body, your muscles, your mind, your intellect. You were given that by God. Those are your natural abilities. And what God is saying, now we know, where did those come from? Those come from God as well. God gave us those. But then there's the supernatural might. And that's where we read in the Word of God, where God says, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. So when God sees us giving our might for His glory, He comes upon us with His supernatural might and the power of His Holy Spirit and works through us. And we can't accomplish anything in the will of God without the power of His might. But it comes first. That's why Ephesians 6:10, Paul said when he introduces the armor of God, he says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of what? His might. So thirdly, we see be industrious. But fourthly, let me give you this, and we're going to close up the message here in just a moment. You young people who are home watching, thank you for being patient and thank you for being attentive. We see here that the fourth point is be insistent. Be insistent. What do we mean by that? That means stay at it. Don't settle for anything less than full victory. God has set it out for you. Now, again, Joseph was very industrious. That's why he was put in charge of the palace when he was taken into captivity. That's why when he was put in prison, the prison guard automatically saw this man works hard. This man has favor from God. He put him in charge of the prison. And then Pharaoh himself would put him in charge of his government there over Egypt and for the famine that would come. And so we're going to see that Joseph was also insistent because he didn't give up. He did not back down. You think about him with me for a moment. You're reading his story right now, perhaps. If you haven't, read the chapters in the Bible, chapters 37 through 50 in Genesis, and you will be greatly encouraged. Joseph did not let his circumstances stop him. You think about it. The bitter brothers didn't stop him. Potiphar's wife didn't stop him. The prison didn't stop him. And you could go along. There were other circumstances. The pit did not stop him. Joseph refused to be a victim to his environment. And he just said, I'm going to go forward. Whatever I'm in and whatever state I am not going to back down. If it means me falling and getting up over again, that's exactly what I'll do. I'm sure there were times of doubt in the prison. Because I know Joseph had a sinful heart. So there had to be times of him sitting down in that pit thinking, my, what in the world? All I did was come to look for my brothers. Maybe he was down there in the prison thinking, oh my, I just tried to run from that woman who was trying to get me to sin with her and to lay with her. I don't know. But Joseph did not stop. You know, Proverbs chapter 24, verse 16 says this, for a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. You see, my friends, no matter how many times you fall, if you want to stay insistent and accomplish goals that honor God, you're going to stay at it. Don't give up. I really love the quote that Dwight D. Eisenhower gave the men and women and the whole United States military, the speech he gave them before embarking on D-Day, the Normandy beaches. One of the last things he said to them, he said, I have full confidence in your courage. He said, devotion to duty and skill in battle. And notice what he says next. We will accept nothing less than full victory. And he went on to say, let us beseech the blessing of Almighty God upon this great and noble undertaking. My friends, that's got to be our attitude this morning. What God has set out before us, we will settle for nothing less than full victory. I like what Spurgeon said about this idea of perseverance and not giving up. He said, by perseverance, the snail reached the ark. Someone once said, triumph is just umph added to try. And the idea there is that we just got to give it some umph. for the glory of God. Don't give up. And as we think about closing this morning, this morning's message, listen to me very closely. As you go forward by faith, let God lead you in forming habits and goals that will honor Him. You know, Joseph went on to be used mightily to benefit others because of his selfless attitude as he would grow up and understand the importance of being others-minded and focused on God-honoring goals. He would be used to feed thousands and thousands of people, even his own family, that would have starved to death if it wasn't for a man that had some goals that honored God. May we too draw strength from this man's example. And as you go forward this year and your new habits that you're setting forth, that these points that I hope you will ponder, let's be changed by the power of God and be better because of it. Would you pray with me?